Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hold to sweet the sun with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
I welcome you to our Wednesday, March 4th radio broadcast. We come now to Wednesday, of course, and this is prayer meeting night and church night in most areas. I hope you'll be faithful to your Bible preaching church. And if you don't have one, I hope you'll find one that preaches the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for all of our preachers. Father, will you bless our pastors, preachers, missionaries, evangelists, Lord, that will preach across America tonight. Lord, keep our churches strong, God, that we can keep missions strong and we can keep starting churches and helping new works, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts in these days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hope the Lord will stir your heart, and we're sort of in a missions project right now. You know, we're supported by churches as a missionary. I do the work of a missionary evangelist, I guess you'd call it. I really ain't never figured out what I am. I'm just a preacher saved by grace. But, you know, if your church does not currently support gospel broadcasting, I wish you'd pray about it and get involved with this reaching America with the gospel. You know, some churches could support far more than what we're asking. We're just asking 1,000 people to support $10 a month. There are churches out there that can support us $100 a month and never miss that and help us go on some stations. My goal is to get on some stations out where that maybe there's not as many churches at. Now, we may take some on here in the southeast too, but I'd like to get out yonder, amen, and to try to win people to the Lord. And, you know, I had a while back, I'm on a radio station in Texas, and I had a border patrol agent email me. And this was back, I believe, before we back when we had all the open borders and things. They didn't discuss anything like that. But they just said, I want you to know I'm listening. And that's 2 or 3 hours away from the southern border. And they picked up the broadcast on a big AM station there in Texas. And, you know, I appreciate that. I try to be personal. I mean, you know, I know a lot of ministries, they get big and things. And I don't consider us a big ministry at all. But a lot of ministries, they get big and they can't be very personal. But my listeners mean something to me. I've had some of them call me on the phone. And I've had some of them write me letters. And I appreciate each and every one that listens. I want you to know I'm here for you. And I love you all. Amen. We'll give you the address and all that at the end of the program. We're going to go back to this message on courage today out of the book of Joshua chapter 1. And I hope the message will be a real blessing as you listen. I want to thank you again for listening on this Wednesday. In the church and the preacher calling things out that he's got no business doing and no wisdom is used and no understanding is used, no restraint is used, and it splits church wide open. And then some fella get up and say, well, y'all look better going than you do coming. You ever heard that? Or if you don't like what I'm saying, you can hit the door. It ain't funny when about 40 of them hit the door and leave you with the bills, right? Amen. But God is telling Joshua here, don't go to the left hand. Don't go to the right. Now, by the way, let's just break that down for a minute. Let's don't get over here with the right crowd. Let's don't get over here with the Pharisees and be against everybody and everything. All right, let's have enough courage to stand for what's right. Let's don't. Now, some of you liberals are shouting, but hold on a minute. He said, don't go to the left hand. I'm not to compromise with the new church movement, the new contemporary movement, the new contemporary singing, the new contemporary dress, the new contemporary talk. I'm not to compromise with that movement either. I'm still to preach it right, straight down the middle, like it is. Amen. And that's what God told Joshua. Now, he said, be very courageous. I've got to be courageous to preach the Word of God. I'm not preaching whether people like it or not. I love you. My goal is to help you. My goal is to leave you better than you were when you tuned in to me. And that's my goal. And God said, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. Now, let me show you this. Amen. Let me show you this. All right. He said this. Let's see here. All right. Let's see. Well, I'm looking for a verse that I don't have. All right. So let me go on to number three. Number one, and I print my stuff out where I can see it, so I'm not where I wanted to be, and I'm not going to go back. But anyway, number one, he spoke to the fact of the whole congregation. Number two, he spoke concerning the Word of God. Number three, he spoke to Joshua within himself. Notice verse number 9, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee personally, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God, personal thy, is with thee, personal, whithersoever thou, personal, goest. In other words, Joshua, you are going through some battles, son, and I'm going to be with you. Now, the preacher, and I've already kind of covered this, but the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the choir leader, anybody, you got to have courage of whatever you're doing. And the way you get courage, I believe, stay filled with the Spirit of God. You see the old drunk out there, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, wine will do three things to a drunkard. It'll affect his talk, his walk, and his thought. Why, did you know there are men out there that get drunk on alcohol, they think they can stop a freight train. Oh, stop that train coming down. Amen. I never forget this, ought not tell it, but I had a little procedure done one time, and I got the medicine they gave me. It just made me drunk. It impaired my ability to think. And my wife said, I could hear you down the hall. Said, you was telling those nurses, I pray for y'all every day. Well, I didn't even know them people. I didn't pray for them. I didn't know anything about that. And I came up the hall. I remember telling one lady, and I remember this, you know, I got a sense of humor and I like to pick on people. And this lady was helping me, and she was trying to get me back to Christy there in the waiting area. And I looked at her and I said, I'm going home and run my chainsaw. Well, I don't even have a chain. And boy, that sent that woman into orbit. Sir, you're not going home. You're not running a chainsaw. No, you're not doing that. And so I remember walking in that waiting room, and I mean, I was impaired. That medicine. I looked at Christy, and this is what I'm embarrassed. I'm real quiet like that. If I know you, I'll talk a lot. But when I first come up on something, I don't say a lot. And I walked in that waiting room. I didn't care who was in there. And I looked in there. It was Christy sitting there. And I said, hey, Christy, I said, what are you doing in here? And she said, and she wasn't trying to be mean. She was trying to gain control of the situation. She had sat down over here and hush. And she finally got me down over there and got me, got some Pepsi Cola in me or Coke Cola or something. And it kind of wore off. But here's the thing about it, what I said to that. Now, when you're filled with the Spirit, I'm not saying you'll act crazy. I'm not saying that, but you will have a boldness. See, that medicine made me bold in the wrong way. Amen. But I'm talking, when you get filled with the God, you're going to have a boldness about you, preacher. Now, you say, preacher, you say, I'm discouraged over my church. Well, you pray. I think there's too many men leaving their churches. I'm going to be honest with you about that. I think there's too many men. The grass is greener on the other side. Now, let me tell you something, fellas. I'm 59 years old. Don't get mad at me, okay? I'm into my 42nd year of preaching. I'm about as dumb as I was when I started. But, I have been there on this thing of the grass is greener on the other side. Let me tell you what I did. I hesitate to tell this, but I'm going to tell anyway. I was pastoring a little country church. My first church, I did not know what I was doing. I had people that were good people, but maybe some of them hadn't been taught exactly where they need to be in the Word of God. So I really basically had three different crowds. I had a crowd that would come on Sunday morning, and some of them wouldn't come back on Sunday night. And then the crowd that came on Sunday night, none of them, because they had to work and everything, they wasn't there on Wednesday night. So I had almost three different crowds, and some of the Sunday morning people would come back on Sunday night, and they were good people. And I should have stayed still. I should have minded God. I stayed there. I only stayed as pastor 4 months. 4 months and 2 weeks I stayed. I mean, it was a disaster. And here's the deal. Here's the whole deal about that. Here's the whole deal about that. I got my eyes on greener grass. I said, I'll go yonder and start a church or something, and they'll respect. And it was 25 years before God would ever let me even go somewhere, that place I had in mind to start a church. And then when I started it, I mean, I still run up on some opposition. A good church came out of that. But you know, you're going to fight. And what I learned, you're going to fight the devil anywhere. You're going to fight the devil in North Dakota just like you will in North Carolina. You're going to fight the devil in South Carolina just like you do in South Dakota. I mean, brother, you can run across the sea, and you're going to fight the devil in Spain just like you would in Oregon. Amen. I mean, the devil is everywhere. And anything that's going on, I had a pastor talk to me yesterday. And he said, you know, I'm having visitors at my church. And he said, man, things starting to happen. He said, the devil's fighting. I said, brother, when you start doing something for God, the devil's going to fight you. And let me tell you, if the devil don't fight you, you ain't doing nothing. Amen. And God is saying, now, Joshua, this verse is for you. And you're going to have to go around not letting your lip drag the ground. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Why, Pastor, you can't live in fear of your church people. Now, handle things with wisdom. Handle things with godliness. Handle things with grace. And the Bible talked about he that handleth the matter wisely. Amen. And listen, if you'll handle it wisely, you'll find good. I had a matter that laid before me. By the way, I'm not going to tell you how to pastor. I was a failure at pastoring a church. But I had a matter that laid before me and in a church, and I pastored 5 churches, so you don't know which one it was. And I had a lot of opposition over the years and things, but I had a matter that laid before me. And one preacher gave me some advice. He told me to do it this way, and he was a very wise man. Another preacher gave me some advice, and he told me to do it another way. And, you know, there are people out there, and sometimes they're like Rehoboam. They want to pound the pulpit and say, bless your heart. If you don't do it my way, why, we'll clean your clock. Well, that ain't really the way to solve anything at all. That ain't never the way to solve anything. Never. A confrontation is never a way to solve anything. Never. Now, sometimes you have to take a stand. You have to take a stand. I had to take some stands in church in my lifetime. I've had to take some stands. Yes, sir, I have. And if you're a pastor, sometimes you got to just say, no, we're not doing it this way. But I made the wrong choice. And it caused problems in that church. Now, let me say this to you. I ought to have enough courage to stand on what the Bible says. Amen. So God gave Joshua 3 different areas. Now, I want to get to the message, and here's what I'm doing. I'm preaching on topics out of Joshua. I'm preaching on courage. Now, some of you may not appreciate the fact that I'm preaching from Joshua, but yet I'm going to other scripture to give you facts about courage, but I'm going to do that. If I have time, which I don't know if I'll get through it all or not, but I'm going to give you 3 men in the Bible, and we're going to talk about courage. Now, courage is something you need. I think, first of all, when I think about courage, I think about David. I think about David in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Let's just read verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men, by the way, they had just gotten turned back from the Philistine king and said, you can't go with us to fight. All right, so no doubt David is a little bit discouraged with that. But God needed him somewhere else. We're come to Ziklag on the 3rd day that the Amalekites, that's a type of the flesh, by the way, had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse number 3 says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Now, you can imagine that. Amen. The Bible said, then David and his people, the Bible said, then David and the people that were with him, the Bible said, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. Now, here they are, that David and his men go out, and of course, you know the story. They're over there with Achish, the king of the Philistines, and Achish gives David Ziklag, but David goes and tries to go with Achish to the war. And the lords of the Philistines said, that fella can't go with us because he's going to turn again. And David would have turned against him. He said, well, friend, we've come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Wednesday. We've been talking to you about reaching America with the Gospel Project. If you want to help with that, we ask 1,000 people across America to give $10 per month or $120 for the year. If you do that, you can make a check to GBI. Our mailing address, GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. And then also, if you want to email us for any reason, comments at gbiradio.org. Or you can call our office at 336-356-1560. All right, I hope you'll be found in church tonight. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time, he who fed the multitudes.
turn the water into wine to the hungry.